Good evening. It is good to see this number out this evening, even though Monty bothered to tell everybody I was preaching this morning. Thank you. I owe you for that. We've had a good day. I've enjoyed our services both this morning and then what we have done this evening. Brother Strong gave us a good lesson this morning and gave us the five stones for parents to help in raising their children. I know when the elders announced this focus this year for parents and children and raising your children, some of you may have gone, what does that have to do with me? I'm not raising any children. Thank goodness. I'm not trying to bring some child up, and I'm not working towards that. I'm a grandfather, I'm a grandmother, I'm a great-grandfather, I'm a great-grandmother. What does this have to do with me? What I'd like to do tonight is try to answer that question for you, because I think it's very important that all of us, regardless of our age, consider what the future for not only this church, but for the Lord's church worldwide has to do. I have a quote I would like to read to you. In fact, I have two quotes I'd like to read to you. One is from somebody that most of you are going to recognize, a former president, Ronald Reagan. President Reagan, in a speech, had this to say. He says, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like to once live in the United States where men used to be free." And then a second quote that I'd like to read to you is from a man that, if any of you recognize this name, I'd be interested in knowing. It's from a man by the name of Scott Woodward. Scott Woodward is not a gospel preacher. I will tell you that up front. He is a denominational evangelist, preacher, something along those lines. But I thought what he had to say was particularly interesting as well. He says, "The church has always been just one generation away from extinction. If a whole generation is lost, which will never happen, we would lose the church. But if a single individual is lost, it closes the doors for generations of descendants unless they are brought back to the Lord." What I'd like to stress to you tonight is that the reason for this series of lessons, the reason that we have asked Brother Strong to preach some lessons along this line, is because I think God's word indicates to us there is a danger when we do not teach our children about God and about his word and about his will. Many of us have a faith that we have developed over the years, and we are strong in our faith. But we need to make sure that we teach our children, regardless of their age, and that they develop a faith of their own, not our faith, but their faith. And if they don't, we are simply one generation away from losing a generation in the future. In Romans, the 15th chapter and verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "These things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort, might have hope." Now you're saying to yourself, "Bill, why are you reading to me about things that were written aforetime?" Because I want us to go back to the Old Testament, and I want us to look at some things that were written aforetime, that were written for our understanding. Now I'll tell you honestly, most of my thoughts along these lines came to me very recently. Brother Nathan Sorrells is teaching a class to us on the judges. And there was many things that he had to say last Wednesday night that stirred my thoughts and my memories of some things and caused me to come up with this lesson. I think there's some things that we need to look at there. So I'm going to read to you some things and make some comments about some things, both from Joshua and from Judges. And so if you want to open your Bibles, you can turn them to Joshua, the 24th chapter. And what I'm going to read to you, to most of us out there, you recognize that you know what I'm reading about. Remember that it's at the end of Joshua's days and that they have come upon peace. And Joshua is giving a farewell address to the people of Israel. And in Joshua 24 and starting in verse 15, he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the ghost which were your father served were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, for the house of bondage which did these great signs and in our sight and reserved us in all ways wherein we went and among all the people though whom we passed. And the Lord drave us from before all the people and the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is God." Joshua was very clear about where he stood, and the people were very clear about where they stood. But then you go to Judges. And we'll start in Judges, the second chapter, in about verse 6, right after the death of Joshua. In verse 6 it says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath and the Mount of Ephraim, and on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works from which he had done for Israel." What was the problem? Why these people had been strong, they had been faithful, they acknowledged God as the God, and yet when another generation came along who knew not God, they went away. Turn one chapter over to chapter 3, verse 7. The children have come back. They have returned to the Lord. In verse 7, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves." The same thing over again. There's been a return to God, and then there's been a leaving for God. I could go on and read to you from Judges 3:12, Judges 4:1, Judges 8:33 and 34. All of those scriptures are saying the same thing. The people returned to God. There arose a generation who knew not God, and they left God. What does that say to you? What does that say about the importance for each of us teaching our children and making sure that they know about God and that they accept God and accept him as God? There is a lesson to be learned from what we read in Judges about teaching our children. And I would argue with you tonight that this is a responsibility of parents, absolutely. But it's a responsibility of grandparents, of great-grandparents, to see that the next generation knows God, loves God, and obeys God. We Because if we don't, the next generation will fall away. God had given them, from the very beginning, if you want to turn again, back, look at Deuteronomy, chapter 6. This is where they were given the instructions about how to teach their children and what, and how to go about that. In Deuteronomy 6 and beginning in verse 1, now these are the commandments and the statutes of the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of their lives and the days that they might be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord of God, the fathers, hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The Lord expected his people to keep him always before them and to continue to watch over the children and to teach the children and to make sure that they were knowledgeable about him and his laws and his ways and his commandments. And that was not only for them in those days, but that's applicable for us today. That's how we need to make sure that the next generation doesn't fall away, that your children don't fall away, that your grandchildren don't fall away. Many of you can trace lineages perhaps back for several generations of folks who were Christians, who were faithful and obedient Christians. But I would fear to say that there are probably along that lineage and along that line, there are some that have gone away. And as they go away and they leave the Lord, their descendants are no longer faithful. In fact, perhaps don't even know anything about God or his word or his laws. So the danger here, brethren, is very imminent for all of us to make sure that our children and our grandchildren know about God. What I'd like to do this evening is to give you four very simple steps that I feel may help each of us to make sure that happens, to make sure that we don't lose another generation. Now, to those of you out there this evening that perhaps asked that question at the beginning, I said of our lesson tonight about what does that have to do for me, look around you. Look at these front rows at these young folks that are sitting up here. Can you be of help to them? Can you encourage them? If so, I'm sure their parents would appreciate that. There are things that all of us can do. This is not strictly a parent-child situation. We all have an investment in this. If we want this congregation to continue to grow and to remain steadfast, then we have to invest some of ourselves in it. And we have to make sure that those who come after us remain faithful. The scripture that we have used for these series of lessons is Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I'd read to you again the first four verses of that chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not words that we typically use. I went to my Strong's just to see what might he have to say about this. The nurture is an education or training. It implies discipline or correction. Admonition, Strong says, calls attention to a mild rebuke or warning. So we're not always going to say encouraging, uplifting things to our children. Sometimes they need a little correction. Brother Strong talked about that a little bit this morning. The fact that you don't tell a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, oh, stay away from that car going by at 45, or whatever you said, 35, whatever. You yell out. And sometimes, parents, we need to yell out. You can't be involved in that. You can't do that. God's word would forbid that. Now, I have to tell you, Brother Strong spurred me to make this. I as well, I'm not sure that I've always done the right things with my children. I know that I have tried, but I'm not sure I've always done the right things. But we have to take this seriously, very seriously. Again, we cannot afford to lose a generation. We need to speak to them, first of all. We need to speak to them often about God and what He means to us and what He means to them. We need to speak to them often about His Word. We need to spend time with them, as much time with them as we do in their schoolwork or in their sports or any of those things. We need to spend as much time as that, if not more, talking to them about God, talking to them about His Word and what He expects from each of us. Sometimes it seems like as parents, and I remember those days vaguely, but I remember those days, when we used to ask our kids, have you got your schoolwork done? Did you get everything done that you needed for school? How's the play that you're working on? How's that going? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. What I am saying is we need to spend just as much time with them about God's Word. Which brings up the second point. Those of you who have children in the Bible classes here, recognize a couple of things. First of all, the Bible class teachers are not there to teach your children everything that they need to know about God. That is your responsibility. That's not theirs. They're there to help you, to assist you, but that's your responsibility to teach your children. The Bible, we have some excellent, excellent Bible class teachers. And I know they'll do everything that they can to see that your children get additional information that they're able to give them in these classes. But don't forget, they're your children. They're your responsibility. Make sure they have their lessons done. Make sure that they've done the things that are required for the class. Ask them before you go out on Sunday morning and you're on your drive to services, oh, by the way, did you get your lesson done? That's not the time to do it. The time would have been earlier in the week. Have you done your lesson for Sunday? Have you done your lesson for Wednesday night? Let's make sure that our children are responsible and we're teaching them responsibility. But let's check with them. Make sure that they've done their lessons. They're going to go to classes that teachers are prepared. You would not like it if you were sending your child to a class where the teacher came in and said, well, I don't know what we're going to do today. Let's play Bible trivia, or let's do something else here. The teachers need to be prepared. Now, that's something that some of us who aren't actively raising children can make sure of. If we're teaching, let's make sure that we're prepared, that we've spent some time getting ready for the class. And as parents, let's make sure our children are ready to come and to take place, take part in that class, an active part. Occasionally, folks run into some problems with not knowing how to handle a certain situation with their children. Perhaps they've come across something that they've never faced before, and they're not sure exactly what to do, how to do it. What do I do with this child that as Brother Strong said this morning, says, well, I'm not going to go to church today. How do I handle that? What do I do? Well, first of all, as he said this morning, they're living in your house. I don't know why there's a discussion. But if you're stumbling around about that, there are a lot of folks here that have faced the same kinds of situations. Avail yourself of their help. Avail yourself of the help that they can give you, the encouragement they can give you, and perhaps some ideas that they have done or come across that might be of help to you. Look for others to encourage and to assist and to help. Parents, again, it's our responsibility. It's not a responsibility that we can push off on the church. It's not a responsibility that you can abdicate to your wife or to your husband. As parents, we have a responsibility. If you need help, ask for it. Children sometimes are difficult to raise. I've raised two boys. They're entirely different. What you do for one won't work for the other. Entirely different individuals. We have to be prepared to know how to handle the different situations. Brother Strong, again, I keep referring back to his lesson, but these two lessons kind of go together in a way. Brother Strong mentioned the scripture in Proverbs that talked about raising up a child as the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. I, like him, have had that thrown at me a number of times and said, oh, you, somewhere along the line, this person or you or whatever must have done something wrong because that child has not gone up in the way he should go. As he said this morning, that's not an absolute. And he gave us another scripture this morning. I'll give you a second scripture that's not far. In fact, it's in the same chapter as that I just read in Proverbs 22. In Proverbs 22 and verse 15, not in verse 6, but just down a few verses, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And I guarantee you, again, I raised two boys, you can't beat some things out of these kids. Once they get it in their head, it's there. It can't be changed. This is something that, generally speaking, correcting a child, whether it be with a rod or whether it simply be with speaking to them, will help correct them. But don't make the charge to someone that there must have been something you did wrong in raising that child because they're not faithful and they're not where they ought to be. Each child is different. And we need to recognize that as we're raising our children. Recognize the strong points, the weak points, where they need encouragement, where they need to have the reins kind of pulled back a little bit. But again, this is a responsibility of parents. This is what parents have to do. Now, here I've given you a few items, just my own thoughts, my own ideas here, of some things that might help you in raising your children. But I go back to the very beginning of our lesson tonight, and why is this important? Why is it important that we make sure that we're raising our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren right? Why is that important? Well, you would say, first of all, because they have a soul. Because I don't want my child, I don't want my grandchild to be lost. And they have a soul that is precious to God. Yes, that's true. But just as President Reagan talked about the freedoms of America, a generation being lost, just as we read from Judges about people who returned to God and then another generation came up and they went away. I can take you around this city today to three or four different locations where there were strong, vibrant churches of God's people. There are nothing there anymore, just flat ground or a rundown building. I recently made a trip to my hometown of Vincennes. Hadn't been there in 20 plus years, or 30 plus years probably. And I went by the church building where I was baptized and where I was raised. It's a dilapidated, falling down building with nobody meeting in it and a for sale sign out front that looks like it's been there forever. What I'm trying to tell you is the next generation falling away, this building could be sitting empty. This building could have a denomination of some type meeting in it. Brethren, there's been a church here, I believe, since about 1958 or 9, I believe. Met in an old house out front. Our congregation is growing, it's strong, it's vibrant. But it won't always remain that way if we don't spend some time with our children about God. I wish I had spent more. That's the reason we're having these lessons. That's the reason that the eldership felt that this is important. We want this congregation to continue to grow and to strengthen, and to be a shining light. But if we let children slip away, if we let our children and our grandchildren slip away, we're not only losing them, we're losing the descendants that come after them. It's important. It's important to you, it's important to me, and it's important to God that we raise our children in such a way that they will have their own faith, that they will be strong in their service to God, and that the next generation will be a strong force for Him. That's all I've had to say to you tonight. I know I've not said anything to really instruct you in being obedient to God or to bring back a lost soul. What I've said to you tonight is something that I simply wanted to say that I felt is important for each of us to understand. But if you're here tonight and you've not been obedient to His word, or if you have and have fallen away, if you'll come forward while we sing this song, we'll be happy to talk with you and to help you in any way that we can. So won't you come as together we stand and sing.